Hi, my name is Mark Wilkins, and I would like to welcome you to this pain-free childbirth program. I'd like to talk to you about hypnosis and how it's used in the childbirth process. Childbirth with hypnosis has gained enormous popularity over the last few years as the more modern techniques of childbirth have been made available to every woman. Is hypnosis the correct modality for you to use to have your baby? Well, let's talk about that a little bit. To understand whether it is or isn't, I think it's very important to understand first basically what hypnosis is and how it works. But hypnosis is not like what you've seen in the movies. To understand how hypnosis works, it's necessary to understand how your mind works. You have basically two minds. You have that conscious part of you that you're using right now, and that part of you only has four functions. It's your analytical mind, the part of you that looks at problems, analyzes them, and figures out how to handle those problems. You also have the rational part of the conscious mind. The rational part of your conscious mind is the part of you that must give you a reason why you do things that you do. You see, if you don't have a reason for the things you do, you grow anxious, frustrated, nervous, and it can lead to serious mental illness. The only problem with the reason that the rational part of the conscious mind gives you is it's like ivory soap. It's 99, 44, 100% wrong. It always sounds good, and as long as the reason it gives you sounds good, we go through our day comfortable and not worrying too much about our world. For example, a smoker will say, "I smoke because it relaxes me, gives me time to pause and gather my thoughts." Or an overweight person will say that I'm overweight because I eat when I'm bored or when I'm nervous. These are the reasons this rational part of us gives. These are not the reasons we do these things, but since it sounds okay, we can go about our business. The next part of the conscious mind is a part that we ask to do things that it was never given to do. It's called willpower. Willpower is like adrenaline is to the body. It gives us temporary energy to get through a brief mental process, just like adrenaline can give us temporary strength to get through a desperate situation. It was never meant to give us any type of a habit change. We try to use it for changing our habits, but we're just not very effective with it. You know, many people who have tried to quit smoking using willpower, and it just doesn't seem to work very well. The last part of the conscious mind is temporary memory. Only that memory we need in our daily life to get through the day. Once that memory is no longer needed, it has a tendency to just go away, and this is the way it should be. We shouldn't have to remember everything from every place and clutter up ourselves that much. That's all the conscious mind does. It doesn't have any other purpose. But who you are, what you are, what you believe in is a function of that other part of you we call the subconscious mind. The subconscious mind is a level of awareness that you generally do not have easy access to using. Think of the subconscious mind like an organic computer. It's programmed just like a computer is programmed, and it must operate on the programming. When you were born, the programming in your subconscious computer was basically empty, and you programmed it with your life experiences from that moment on. So today, you are the sum total of everything that has ever happened to you. Everything you've ever done, tasted, or smelled, you literally couldn't be any other way. Your subconscious mind is where your beliefs about things are stored. But let's look at this computer part of us and see how it works for a second. There is a certain operational programming in here. First of all, there is permanent memory. You have never forgotten anything that has ever happened to you in your life. In hypnosis and in some hypnotherapy techniques, we can take a person back to re-experience their birth and events of their early childhood. They recall it just as if it's happening all over again, every bit of it. Permanent memory is how we can locate a lot of people's problems in our work. The next part of the subconscious mind is all of your habits, and you only have three habits. You have good habits, you have bad habits, and what we call utilitarian habits. These are the habits that cause us to automatically respond to a situation when it happens. Like when the phone rings, we don't think about it, we just go answer it. The next part of the subconscious is our emotions. All of our emotions are located in the subconscious mind. The conscious mind's job is not one of emotion. Whenever we need emotions, the conscious mind opens up very quickly, just like a camera shutter, and lets that emotion flow up to our consciousness from the subconscious, and we feel that emotion. Sometimes it gets us into trouble, doesn't it? I know that all of us at one time or another have gone through a situation that has had just a little emotion. Forget something that is very emotional. Just a little emotion, and after it was over, you find yourself saying or thinking, "Why did I say that? It was so stupid." And the subconscious is laughing and saying, "Yeah, but it was so much fun." Now, we wouldn't want to be without our emotions. Certainly, we wouldn't want to be without the emotions of love and caring and joy and happiness. But I think we would like to be without guilt, hate, anger, and resentment. But as human beings, I guess we have to experience all these things and hope we can keep them in balance and harmony. The next part of your subconscious mind is your protective mind, and it must protect you against danger, both real and imagined. You know, something imagined in detail in the subconscious mind is just as if it actually happened. The inner mind can't tell the difference. That's why one of the most important words we use as hypnotists is imagine this or imagine that. The subconscious is very good at that. Everything that you believe is part of the programming of the subconscious mind. Negative suggestions go into the subconscious mind very quickly because it doesn't take any work or effort to accept a negative suggestion. But positive suggestions go into the subconscious mind with much more difficulty. And let me explain why. When a person, and before I do that, let me explain if a suggestion, if an idea, if a thought, if a concept is allowed to go into the subconscious mind in the correct form, it must happen. This is a computer. We're programming it. It cannot not happen. But it's not that easy to get good suggestions, positive suggestions in there, because of another part of the conscious mind that I haven't told you about yet. I want you to think of this part of the conscious mind as if it were an employee of the subconscious, and every Friday gets paid, and it only has one job, and that job is to put on hold, to stop any positive suggestion or idea from going into the subconscious computer. We call this part of the conscious mind the critical factor of the conscious mind. It blocks positive suggestions. And we know it happens, but because of the complexity of the mind, we don't know how it happens. It's kind of an inner communications. The critical factor of the conscious mind says, "Hey, can I let this suggestion in?" If the subconscious says yes, basically the suggestion goes in, and you start to have the change you want. But because the subconscious is very powerful, it's also very lazy. So most of the time, it says no. I don't want to do the work necessary for that suggestion, so get rid of it. And the suggestion is rejected, and there is no change. How do we get suggestions into that subconscious mind? How can we affect change in belief and in habits? we use something called hypnotism. Now, hypnosis is a very simple process. All hypnosis really is the bypassing of the critical factor of the conscious mind, and then when we have that door open to our internal computer, we send thoughts, ideas, concepts you want into the subconscious mind. We're kind of computer programmers, you see. If an idea is allowed to go into there, you begin to have the change. There's no question about it. It must happen. Now, this is what people who are not knowledgeable of hypnosis think it is, but not in these terms. You see, if this is all it was, then when a person is in hypnosis, we would be able to make them do anything we want them to do. I could say, you're going home, you're going to get your bank book, you're going to your bank and withdraw all your money and $20 bills, and you're coming back here and putting it on my desk. Then you're leaving and forgetting everything that happened. And that probably would happen if that's all hypnosis was. But God did not leave us that defenseless. We have more backup systems and safety features than you can possibly imagine. Yes, when you enter hypnosis, the critical factor is bypassed, but immediately your conscious mind takes on another task or job. Call it the guardian of the gate. You see, when you are in hypnosis, you hear perfectly everything that's going on. Actually, all of your five senses become sharper and more powerful. Your sense of taste, touch, and hearing become much more powerful than they are right now. Much more alert. Your ability to decide what you will do or won't do, will or not accept, is much stronger when you're in hypnosis. So we hear everything. The conscious mind hears everything. Now, here is the one thing that you do not have any control over. When you hear a suggestion, you must make one of four decisions about that suggestion. You have no choice in that. What mental attitude you have when you hear that suggestion determines whether it goes into your subconscious mind and change begins, or whether it's rejected and there is no change. Now, the first mental attitude you can have is, I like that suggestion, and I know that one will work for me. Yeah, and it will work because that suggestion will go right into the computer and the change will begin. But you do have three other choices, three other mental attitudes. And if you take any of these three attitudes, the suggestion will be rejected and there will be no change. The first of these mental attitudes is, I don't know, there is something about the suggestion that is a little uncomfortable. You will reject the suggestion even if it's just a little uncomfortable for you, and there will be no change. The next mental attitude is, if you are neutral about the suggestion. You know, if you just don't care, or you do care whether or not you get the suggestion, no big thing. Well, there is not enough energy behind that suggestion, and it is also rejected, and there is no change. Now, I know a lot of you have talked to someone who said, I went to a hypnotist, and it just didn't work. Well, that's because they probably had this last mental attitude. This attitude will make anybody fail at hypnosis, and that is simply, when they hear the suggestion, they say to themselves, I like that suggestion. Boy, I hope it works. You see, hope, the word hope, is the twin sister to the word try. And the word try means automatic failure. You can hope to win the lotto, or you can hope to, you can change, but your hoping will never succeed. If you say to yourself in hypnosis when you hear a suggestion, I like that suggestion, I hope it works, it won't. And it will be rejected with no change. The only time a suggestion is allowed into the inner mind where change happens is when you hold on to the overall attitude, by God, I like that suggestion, and I know it's going to work for me. Otherwise, nothing happens. So you see, You're the one in control. You're the individual who determines whether you have change or not. If you allow the bypass of the critical factor and establish those suggestions that will allow you to have a beautiful birth, you will. Hypnosis is a natural state of mind. You're going in and out of hypnosis all day long. You'd be surprised how often you go into hypnosis each day. In other words, how many times your critical factor is bypassed every day. For example, we've all heard of highway hypnosis. That's when you're driving down the road and you don't remember driving the last several miles or blocks. Well, your subconscious is also your protective mind. What that means is you were daydreaming when the subconscious says you're a danger to us. I'll drive. And you know, when you drive in hypnosis, you drive beautifully. And then you realize that you've been daydreaming and you get the wheel back and start speeding and weaving again, all those things you would normally do. Television is one of the great hypnotizers. All of the advertisers on TV are attempting to bypass your critical factor. If they do, you buy their product. If they don't, the commercial is a failure. So everybody is bypassing your critical factor. School teachers hypnotize you, and you learn. When you're in love, that's the greatest hypnotizer of all. Both people in love bypass each other's critical factors, and those beautiful words of caring and love soothe us and warm us. If only one person is in love, then there can be difficulties. Hypnosis is all around us. All around us. Now, the important thing to remember as to how this works for childbirth is this. From the time you were born till depending on how rapidly you matured, you did not have a critical factor formed in your mind until you were, let's say, 5 or 6 years old. Now, what that means is everything that anybody told you, your parents, your teachers, become part of your belief system. You had no way to block those ideas, suggestions, or concepts from going in. From the moment you were born, you were listening to what was going on around you, even though you didn't speak the language. The voice imprints went into your mind, and they became active once you learned the language. What did you hear? What became part of your belief system? Well, you probably heard your mother talking to her girlfriend about childbirth. Oh, I can hear those words over and over again. So many women that we've worked with have told us this. The mother talked about the terrible pain, talks about the ripping and the tearing and how difficult it was. And you heard other women talking about it. The doctors also program us. Every time a doctor says something, it bypasses your critical factor. The doctors call those beautiful contractions that move your baby down the birth canal labor pains. How many times since the day you were born, you heard the words labor pains? The words by themselves create pain. And then what do they call the last third of your labor period? They call them hard labor pains. And as you grew up, I wonder how many times you heard the words labor pains, and every time you heard labor pains, it bypassed your critical factor and became part of what you believed with all your heart and soul thousands of times. And then maybe your girlfriends became pregnant and they start telling you about the horror stories about how they were in labor for 29 days. And I'm going to get even with my husband for what he did. And the ripping and the tearing and the labor pains were humongous. Your critical factor was bypassed hundreds of times since you were born, thousands of times since you were born. So that when you begin your first contraction, if this is not your first child, your mental attitude was not one of, this is going to be the most wonderful, relaxing, loving, joyful experience of my life. No, no, you were doomed. You were doomed by the programming of a little girl that became a woman through hundreds and thousands of critical factor bypasses, telling you that You were going to go into pain and terror and agony and destruction. And that's what you've experienced if you've already had a child. That's sad, because it doesn't have to be that way. We have trained hundreds of women into having a beautiful, peaceful, loving childbirth process. We have seen women from the time the first contraction came on to the time they had their child was a maximum of 65 minutes. And the baby was born with joy and happiness and no discomfort whatsoever. There are many third world countries where women work in the fields right up to the point when they have the birth of their baby and move off to the side, squat down, and deliver their baby with no signs of discomfort. Then many times there's a woman who will take the child and care for it, a midwife, so that the mother can go back and continue working. It's interesting to note how gravity works with you in this natural setting. And in the hospital, many times a woman will be fighting gravity with her legs up in the air. You see, the woman working in the fields or the rice paddies in these third world countries were never told that it hurt to have a baby. They accepted it as a natural event, and it would be comfortable and rapid. The procedures using hypnosis have continued to evolve and improve to what they are today. 10 years ago, the hypnotist had to be in the delivery room with the woman. Nowadays, that's not necessary. Basically, how it works is we program that subconscious mind with the truth. You see, everybody has hypnotized you to believe you are in for a terrible situation so that when it comes time for you to have a baby, your birth canal was stretched like a tight rubber band as the fear, as the tension set. And when that little baby came down and his head stretched that birth canal that was already tight and unyielding with tension and stress, oh, that hurt so much. And at the other end, where a woman should dilate so beautifully, it was constricted and restricted, and the doctor has to open it surgically. And we discovered that if we can program a woman that she expects to have a relaxing, loving, wonderful birth, and when she hears the words labor or labor pains, instantly they cause a powerful feeling of deep relaxation and confidence. We teach a woman to relax inside so beautifully during this warm, loving contraction period, not a period of labor pains. You see how we can change that thought process. That the birth canal, instead of being stretched, when that contraction period begins, becomes like a handful of rubber bands just lying on your desk. And when that baby comes down, this relaxed birth canal, it just yields beautifully and the child moves rapidly, very rapidly through the process. It is not unusual at all for a woman to have a baby using hypnosis in a matter of anywhere between one half an hour and an hour and a half. That seems to be the range. Isn't that wonderful? They're relaxed and comfortable, and we program the subconscious mind that when that first contraction begins, it's a warm, loving feeling. We also program the woman's subconscious mind to dilate the body appropriately, and that when she hears the word labor or labor pain, all it causes is a wonderful feeling of physical relaxation. Mentally, it causes her to feel sorry for the people who are still stuck using that word because they have chosen the route of pain. Not out of choice, that's not fair, but out of ignorance. So whenever our women hear the word labor or labor pain, this causes them to relax so beautifully. And when they go into the hospital, there's a plate over the room that says labor room. That's another hypnotic suggestion that would cause apprehension of fear. And when our women look at that plate up there, the image of it causes them to feel calm, relaxed, and in control. We then program the woman that after the baby is delivered so beautifully, so lovingly, quietly, and softly, that she simply asks the doctor how long she must flush or bleed if it's necessary. And then she says to herself, the bleeding stops, and it does instantly in a matter of a few seconds. Many of the ladies who have had babies with hypnosis have gotten up and taken showers and went out and had dinner with their husbands that night. Now, you don't have to believe me. You say, what can a man possibly know about childbirth and the discomfort? He has no idea what I've been through with my last two children. Well, we've trained many, many women through this process. We've seen many children being born using hypnosis, and it's beautiful. I have included a telephone call from one of the ladies informing us of the childbirth. This was her first child using hypnosis as the sole anesthesia.
Messages.
And everything went great. And my daughter came in at 4, had her at 7, left that night, last night. Everything's going great, and I just want to let you know that I won't be there to see you next week. feel free to call if you want to, and if not, thank you very much for helping me. You have a wonderful delivery. Thank you. Bye.
When you're finished listening to this tape, you are ready to begin your first lesson. So you'll want to fast forward to the end of this tape, and lesson one is on side B. Good luck, and follow your directions, and have a wonderful childbirth.